Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty, along with Eric Baranchik. We're here to talk about the Packers' season opening 34-29 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles down in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And Eric, we have a huge topic to talk about. So the news has trickled in all afternoon. We're recording this on Saturday evening. And Jordan Love, all the reports are MCL sprain between grade 1 and 2, 3 to 6 weeks probably. What do you think and what do they do? It's hard. They got off good, right?
I'd say they got off really good. I mean, he's a young guy, 3 to 4 weeks. Pete, if that's you or I, it's 3 to 4 years. So I think it's kind of a blessing in disguise. And so here's the question. Do they go out and sign Ryan Tannehill? Do they just stick with Malik? Or do they go with Sean Clifford? There's the question, Pete. What do you think?
So, if I were them and I thought that this guy was going to miss at least 3 games, I think I'd have to at least give Tannehill a call. Now, Tannehill might not want to come for that short a stay. He might be waiting for somebody who loses their guy for the season or a much bigger chunk than that. He doesn't need the money. So I would be really tempted to call him, and I don't see why they couldn't just say to him, "Look, we'll just come with us until Love returns, and then we'll cut you. So then you're free to go to somebody else."
That would be a heck of a story. Bucks around the league, come for.
I don't think there's anything in the rules that would prevent you from doing that, and especially if we're talking 5 or 6 games, I would think Tannehill would give them a much better chance of winning than Willis or Clifford, but I'm probably going with Willis. If they don't make a move.
He knows how to take a fall. He did a nice job of that last night. He was able to fall correctly.
It's tough. It's asking a lot out of a guy, right? He's only been with them a couple of weeks, hardly taking any snaps with the ones. It's all with the scout team.
Yeah, I think he, so you think you just stick with Willis and have at it?
I'd call Tannehill first and see if he'll do it. If they think Love's going to be out for at least 3 weeks, I think I'd rather have Tannehill in, even though he hasn't practiced with him at all. He played in this offense 1 year at Tennessee, the year after LaFleur left. They still ran the same offense for that next season, and that's when Tannehill joined Tennessee, was in 18. Would have been 19, I guess. So he at least knows the offense, and those vets who are in their mid 30s who have played that many snaps, it's not how you want to do it, but they can adjust fast and at least give you a fighting chance.
Yeah. I mean, he can walk in there and say, here are some concepts I feel comfortable working on. I feel comfortable throwing. Let's work these in, then start working on your stuff. I get all that. And I think the system that they run is pretty quarterback friendly. So I think you probably enjoy being in this system right now.
So what do you think? I mean, I'm sure a lot of listeners don't know this, but you played at UW La Crosse with Gudekunst. So you know him now. That's a long time ago, but you've had a chance to observe him as GM. So you can, you know, you've got a feel for how he thinks. We've observed LaFleur for a few years. What do you think? Do you think they would do that? Or do you think if they think it's only three or four games, just go with Willis or just go with Clifford for that matter?
Well, here's the thing. Historically, they are not, you know, quick to send injured players out on the field. I think they at least can make the phone call. You got to at this point because, you know, you don't want a chance of re-injury. What if it is 6 weeks? What if it's 8 weeks? We don't know that. I mean, these are finicky things. Now, I realize they got a lot of different ways to heal up players nowadays than, you know, and there's stuff that we don't even know about. But the reality is I think you got to make that phone call, and I think they do. I mean, this is kind of one of those years. It's not like they're hoping to make a wild card spot. I mean, they're hoping to secure the division and get deep into the playoffs. And, you know, it'd be awful hard to just come out of the gates 0-7 and make the, you know, and make the playoffs. You know, and then do anything.
Really, that would be really tough. So what do you do if it's if they're thinking, you know, man, it might only be 2 or 3 weeks. Do you think they'd go with Willis or you think they'd go Clifford?
Oh, I think you go Willis. You got to.
Just because of the talent?
Yeah, the arm strength, and you can dumb it down a little bit. The real key is going to be whether or not they can get their offensive line shored up a little bit and make some things happen there. Because last night, what they showed was there are definitely some rusts, that's for sure. And I would guess that they, you know, the season currently, as it sits and the way that teams have approached us, the first three games are preseason games anyway. For sure, the first two. And a lot of times, you know, teams don't come out of the gate. You know, even good teams come out of the gate 2-2. And that's kind of their goal. Let's just get through the first four games, figure things out, and then let's hammer down for the next run. But I don't know that they don't at least make the phone call and say, hey, here's where we're at. And, you know, because if that goes beyond two, we're all sitting here thinking 2 to 3 weeks. I mean, it could be six. And then what?
And I wouldn't envy Willis being, I mean, he's only a third year guy and he was kind of a project coming out of college, much like Jordan Love. And I wouldn't envy him just after being here only a couple weeks to have to be thrown in the fire, especially because, and the Packers lost the battle of the trenches, both sides of the ball, really, in that game on Friday.
Yeah, definitely. That was the difference in the ball game, was the way they played up front on offense and defense. So, you know, that's the bigger of the two problems at this point. I mean, you got a big problem. There's no question about it. But if your offensive line isn't going to block anybody, because now it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. If it's Tannehill, if it's Clifford, or, you know, if it's Willis, or who knows who, you know, Vinny Testaverde, it doesn't matter. Because everyone's going to load up on the run on first and second down, and they're going to have to give themselves a fighting chance. They got to be good on first down and second down, and they got to be able to put the ball on the ground and be sufficient. And what we saw was not, you know, very good, especially between the tackles. AB gaps were really, the yards were tough to come by there, and they're going to need to get some more of that. And I think what when you saw as the game went on, they started working the perimeter more and doing more outside zone and that kind of stuff. And they're going to need to continue to do that until they get the inside game kind of shored up.
Yeah, you know, and some of this is, you know, opponent related too. I mean, you know, we talked about this because, you know, when we talked this morning about what we're going to do for our column, but, you know, Philadelphia has put in some really serious draft capital to the interior of their defensive line. I mean, Jalen Carter was the number 9 pick overall. I'm trying to think if that was – I think he was last year the number 23. I mean, 23, he was the number 9 pick overall. And Jordan Davis was number 13 overall in 22. That is two huge 300. I think one of them, I think Davis is like 350, or, you know, he's 360. He's huge. That's two really good, talented guys in the middle of your defensive line. So maybe the you know, the Eagles will be the one of the toughest teams to run inside against too.
Yeah. I mean, listen, that's the other thing too, is they're, you know, even the Eagles offensive line is very high regarded, and they're a good, very good offensive line. And like you said, those two D tackles with their hands on the ground, those guys were pretty good. So yeah, some of that you got to take into account. It's the first game. That's another part. You got guys working together that needed to get lathered up together. And I think things will change a little bit. Plus the other part that everybody's got to remember is the biggest jump for most players and most teams is between the first and second game, because you get out there in the first game, you don't know what you don't know, and you discover what you don't know. And not only that, you saw live action and you get to see it on video and break it down. It gets better, and it will continue to get better. And some of the young guys are just going to get better and better and better. And there were some things that are easy cleanups, especially on the O-line. You know, poor Morgan, that first-round draft pick, missed a couple of combo blocks where he should have, you know, got off the double team and got up to the linebacker. And, you know, that those were plays that hurt, and especially in the first quarter when we could have been, you know, we're down near the goal line and you miss a backer and it's – you know, it's lights out at that point. So there's a lot of stuff that they can clean up and turn this thing around. But they got to focus on that right now, because it doesn't matter. It's not a let's work this out. It's got to get done right now, because no matter who that quarterback is, it ain't going to be the same. And teams are going to load up. And I mean, I would, if I'm the D coordinator, I'm 7-8 guys every play until it's 3rd and 8, and then we're going to tee off on you. So. I just feel like, you know, that's the number one thing. Get someone in there to play quarterback who could hand the ball off, throw a couple of times, and they'll be, you know, at least be serviceable. That's all.
You know, it's funny, because LaFleur after the game, you know, and I mean, this is a routine thing with early season games, but I'd kind of forgot about it. There's all the unscouted looks you see. And LaFleur said that Vic Fangio, the new D coordinator in Philly, did some things that they did not prepare for, you know, that they didn't know to prepare for, that they didn't think that they were going to do. So that's why, you know, weird stuff happens early in the season, the first 2 or 3 weeks. And
and you're always going to get, every week there's a couple of unscouted looks, but the volume of unscouted looks the first couple of weeks, for sure, because it's on video now. Now everyone can see it. They're going to see the format. And there's only so much you can do. You only got 11 players. There's only so much you can do. So you're right. That was a pretty wise statement that Matt said. And I don't know. I still feel like, truth be told, that game should have been won in the first half. I mean, they gave up 11 points. They left 11 points out on the field in the first quarter, and that would have changed the game. You know, that first drive, stupid penalties takes them out of field goal range, kicking a field goal, you know, a couple times inside the 20.
Took a touchdown off the board.
Yeah, because of a stupid penalty. So there were so many points that were not – that they should have scored. I mean, they should have ran them off the field in the first quarter, and then it was a different ball game. Because you saw what happened when they had to pass, other than one big blunder by that rookie safety. And it's a different ball game, you know, because then Saquon Barkley is not running for 3 touchdowns, because they can't, because they're down by 3 touchdowns. You know, I really feel like, you know, the first game kind of got them. And, you know, you would have hoped they would have ran them off the field, but they just weren't able to do it. And a lot of silly stuff.
Yeah, it was hard not to shake the feeling after, you know, they get those 2 early turnovers and they only got a field goal out of each of them. And both were, they started with the ball in the red zone. And on the second one, they got down to the 5. And on both, they ended up just kicking field goals. That just always comes back to bite you in this league, doesn't it?
Oh, God. Yeah, I honestly almost tweeted it out, Pete, was in the first quarter there when they kicked the field goal. I almost tweeted it out. There's the game. Because you knew you got a veteran team that has experience in the playoffs. They're driven this season. You knew they weren't just going to roll over. And, you know, when they kicked that field goal instead of punching it in, I just went, that's not going to work. Yeah, it's over.
I never would have noticed it if you hadn't pointed it out, but they had on that the second after the fumble, after the fumble snap to Hurts, they had a third and one at the five, the Packers did. And Jordan Davis, I think it was Davis, just slammed Rasheed Walker back a yard and a half into the backfield. One of the tight end, Musgrave, I think it was, got worked right next to him.
Yeah, he was on
the whole left side of the line collapsed. So I just thought, well, you know, it looked to me like that's who. In fact, even Todd Blackledge on the game coverage said, you know, that's where the play was made. But you pointed out Jordan Morgan had a double team block with Josh Myers, and there was a linebacker, Nakobe Dean, shot through the B gap to Morgan's right shoulder, and Morgan's supposed to come off that double team and pick him up. And he didn't even look. You know, he hasn't played right guard. He was a left tackle all his college career at Arizona. And Dean's the one who blew up the play. And if Morgan had blocked him,
it's six.
There'd have been a gap there. And all there would have been between Jacobs and the end zone was
– He didn't even have to block him. He just had to get his hands on him.
Yeah.
Just touch him.
Yeah, just get in the way.
He just came flying through there, and there was nowhere to go. And because the left side got collapsed, but there was a crease. There was a crease there. And I know where you saw the running back. He's going to that crease. And out of nowhere comes this backer who doesn't get touched. You know, so that's the stuff. You know, and you got, they're switching guards there, which I'm still up in the air about how I feel about that. But I understand what they're doing. They're trying to find the guy that they're gonna run out there. And they need to do it. But first play of the game, you know, Sean, I saw they started Sean Ryan. I'm like, all right, life is good. It's going to be all right. First play of the game, he goes, whips out on a backer. Boom. You know, minus 1 yards. Here we go. Right off the bat. And, you know, it's just not, you know, and it was constant. And even Elton Jenkins struggled a couple times. And it just was herky-jerky up front. And, you know, Myers, some plays – looked like an all-pro, and then a couple players, and then every once in a while he looks like he's junk.
That's kind of the story of his career, isn't it?
Yeah, he has three great plays, like all-pro plays, and then he looks total dog poop. You know, just terrible. And you know, so I don't know what, but they got they'll you know what, they fixed it a little bit last year. They'll get it turned around a little bit, and they needed to get punched in the mouth. You know, everybody's talking about them, NFC Championship game, Super Bowl. They're young, and this was one of the fears that we had coming into this season, was that they're a young ball club. With how are you going to handle success? How are you going to handle being everybody telling you that you're awesome? Are you going to work as hard, or are you going to let those people get into your head and think, and you start thinking that you're up 14 to nothing just because you walked out on the field? Sorry, this is game playing by grown ass men, and they are not going to lay down. And you know what? The Packers are going to get everybody's best game because of it. And they showed it last night. They showed their youth. They showed they're not ready for the limelight yet. Can they be? Absolutely. But it's going to take, you know, it's going to take some time in the watching film this week. And it's going to take some, you know, you have to reach under and find out what's under your left nipple and if you got heart or not. And that's the name of the ballgame.
So let's switch over to the other side of the ball. Kind of deja vu, huh? That last possession, 7:52 left, I think.
Fire capers.
All they got to do is get fire Petten, fire
fire Barry. Fire them, get them out of
all
there.
All they got to do is get the ball back. They were only down two. They'd only needed a field goal, and
they had the ball in their chest. They had a pick in their hands and dropped it.
But they
couldn't get off the field.
I still think on the one that you're talking about, the one that Alexander had that hit him in the chest. I still think if he was an offensive player and A.J. Brown was a defensive player, they'd have called interference on Brown on that because he started wrapping him up before the ball got there. But, I mean, you know, if you get your hands on it, you got to catch it, right?
You got it. That's what you're getting paid for. You got to catch that ball. And he played it absolutely perfectly. I mean, to come out of that ball game with two picks would have been stellar. And, national stage, it would have definitely changed the outcome of that game. Absolutely. Because all he had to do was kick a field goal at that point. And they couldn't get off the field. They couldn't get it done. And the biggest issue is, here, and everybody, their secondary, Jair Alexander, blah, blah, blah. First of all, on that big 67-yarder, that safety needed to be there. He overran the play.
Yeah, that was John Bullard, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he overran the play. He makes that tackle. It's not a 67-yard touchdown. And, yes, A.J. Brown, he's a great, great receiver. And he's going to get his catches. And you got a great quarterback. He's going to put it in there. Going to do his things. But he didn't have that. Maybe was he 5 for 10, I think, only? As far as, you know, so it's not like he completely ate Alexander up. He had a good game, and that's fine. But if Alexander had two picks, he would have been laughing all the way to today on the way home. The reality is, though, it didn't happen. He dropped it, and then they got that running back going, and same stuff. You know, we talked about this for a couple of years. You want to run the football, you find number 7, and you run at him. You don't run away from him because you saw last night multiple times. You run away from him, he's going to run you down. But you want to run the football, you run a B gap right at him. And that's what happened. And they got, you know, they got shellacked. So there's some soul searching that they're going to have to do there to make sure that they can shore that thing up. Because – and you know what? They drafted two guys, and neither one of them looked bad. You know, I thought they looked, you know, we didn't get to see Hopper on the field last night, but Adrian Cooper looks like he can play. You know, at the worst case scenario, you get 45 out of there because the long run that Barkley had, you know, Barkley had that 34-yarder. That's Wilson. Wilson overran the play. Everybody did everything they did, and actually, Quay Walker actually stepped up. It was a little bit short. You would have liked him to get a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage, but he did press the line some. There was a big scrum, and 45 goes barreling over the top, and away it goes. And they took him out after that, and they put Adrian Cooper in on that last drive. But still, it wasn't enough. I think they need to make a change there. They need to get that guy on the field, and maybe even move Quay Walker to the weak side backer or to the will, and have one of them young guys line up in the middle. And OJ McDuffie, God love him, he's a hustler, boy. He is a hustler, and he's fairly physical. But I think the other two guys.
Isaiah McDuffie. I think OJ McDuffie was that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's a receiver from a million years ago.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes, but the reality is they got to get Duffy off there. I think put the two young guys in or switch them in and out, work them in. But if they're going to have success, I think they have the players to do it. They need – and I get it. It's the first game. You don't want to start a rookie, especially against a running back like Barkley. You want to – you don't want to just ruin them. But – at this point, with an injured quarterback, why not? What's the difference if they make a mistake? It costs you a ball game. What's the difference? They're going to lose anyway.
Think about it. You know, last year, the big lesson of last year was, if you have young players who are talented, playing them early helps you late.
Absolutely.
And there is every reason to think, you know, playing young players who aren't good enough, you know, that doesn't do you any good. But there's reason to think, watching those two guys, Hopper and Cooper, that there's real ability. I mean, Hopper, he's got a striking ability. I don't know that the Packers have had for, I don't know, you got to go back to Desmond Bishop maybe for a guy who could hit like that, even though the guy's only 228 pounds. You know, and Cooper, yeah, right. You know, speed and explosiveness and all that. And Cooper showed flashes. Now, I get it. Cooper didn't play in any of the preseason games because of that hip injury. Hopper missed some practice time too. But I just wonder if this coaching staff, you know, coaches always go with the guys who they feel like they can rely on, knowing what they're supposed to do. But, man, I think they got to get, at least one of those two rookie linebackers on the field.
I agree 100%. I think Wilson, he outstayed his welcome last night. And, you know, the hard part with Walker is you got to line him up in Mike because they like to run two shell, and he's got to run with guys. And you saw that interception that they had in the first quarter there by McKinley. And you know who caused that interception? You know, McKinley was there and made the play, and that's absolutely – but it was seven. It was Quay Walker. He was running with that guy. That guy was covered. And if I'm a quarterback and I got a receiver on a linebacker, I'm throwing that ball all the time. All the time. And he stayed with him, and he didn't, you know, he didn't lose ground. He didn't, he was right there in a trailing the whole time. And it opened it up where they were able to get the free safety underneath that and catch it. But the reality is that, you know, if they want to get off the field, they got to be able to stop the run, and he ain't going to get it done with seven in the inside. But anything running C gap and out, he is fast, and he is long, and he has good leverage, and he takes great angles. He's a force out there, but the sad part is you want to run the football, you just find him and audible and run right at him.
Yeah. You know, and they spend all training camp with Walker working inside, and they might have to, you know, they probably should make that change, but I wonder after they've invested all that time, I just wonder if they'll do it. I don't know. Do you think
they not probably that change probably won't happen next week because you got to give them another shot, right? But you can't take him off the field because he's that talented of a guy. You just kind of got to live with it. But I don't know. I for sure Wilson, and I think McDuffie is. It's just going to be a very, very interesting thing here in the next couple of weeks, how that's going to develop defensively.
What about, should we have our weekly kicker update? I know that this is your favorite subject.
It is. All right. We are going to spend exactly 15 seconds on the kicker. Certainly has not pushed himself away from the dinner table. 3 of 4 kicking, made all his extra points. Done.
He was so sure, like his kicks just looked true and sure, but then he doinks that one, the field goal off the goalpost. That was strange. That he did have. We talked about this. I wonder if they'll go back and use that kickoff that he did on the Packers' first kickoff. He hit that kind of squib kick, and it worked out great. The guy mishandled the return. They tackled him at the 16, I think. You know, the touchbacks, they're getting the ball at the 30, so that's a 14-yard difference there. The risk is if you don't get the ball to the 20, the ball goes to the 40. And if you kick it out of bounds, the ball goes to the 40 because you can't kick those straight down the middle of the field. So do you think a guy can become proficient enough at that where he can do it on command, you know, just about every time?
He's got to spend some time in the Hudson Center. That's for sure. Yeah. He's got to be doing that every week. But I agree. I think that's the way to do it. I mean, it's – unless you're proficient, I mean, it's risky. But, man, I think that's the only way to do that is kick that thing between the 10 and the 15 and, you know, hold on and see what happens. But, I mean, given the ball after that possession, I mean, they got the ball inside the 20. That's a heck of a deal. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I think some blocking schemes will start to evolve as teams – have opportunities, and you'll probably see some reverses and all kinds of crazy stuff. But I don't think kicking it into the end zone every single time is the answer, because that was pretty good.
You know, I didn't get you and I didn't talk about this, but I didn't get why they had Nixon return that last kickoff. There were only 27 seconds left. I mean, they're looking for a big play, thinking maybe he can bust one. But man, that's a hope and a prayer, and all you do is. Even if you get the ball out to the 30, which you would have on a touchback, there was only 27 seconds left. You're probably eating up a good 6 or 7 seconds there. You know, I mean, every second is precious. I didn't get why they had him return that. I don't know if you had any thoughts on that.
Find some lightning in the bottle, I guess, at that point. Yeah, no, I agree with you there.
Just take the free ball, keep the clock. You know, that's two more snaps maybe that you might get.
Possibly. Or a touchdown, you know, you got to be aggressive too. I don't know. How about Jaden Reed last night? I mean, come on. That guy, I mean, he is the star of that group. And everybody wants to talk about Watson, and he can run and he's jump and all that great stuff. But that guy gets it done, not only with the ball in the air, but he can run it too. And what a talent that they have at that spot there. And you know, defensive coordinators it's got to be tough. You know, it's who are you going to stop? You know, you saw in the first playoff game last year that the Cowboys were not going to let Watson beat them. And the Packers thumped them pretty solidly. And, you know, so what are you going to take away? You start taking away Reed? Well, then Watson and Dobbs are going to have field day. And you know, I really was eager to see how, you know, Josh Jacobs. And I think, you know, they had some problems running between the guards there. And that probably wasn't – they figured that out. But – Lex, it seemed to me early on that he's just one of those guys that they got to lather up. You just got to hand it to him and let him go and let it, you know, you're going to eat some yards early in the game, but just let him go because he seemed to get better as the game went along. He got stronger. You saw some better decision-making the first quarter. And some of that's probably just rust. I don't know. Will remain to be seen, I guess, as the season progresses, but that's a guy that they got, especially now, if they're going to have problems at quarterback, they're going to have to hand that guy the ball 20 times.
Yeah.
He's going to have to get, you know, 20, 25 touches a game in order for that offense to stay on the field.
Any early thoughts on comparing him with Aaron Jones?
Definitely doesn't have the vision. Straight line speed, I thought, you know, maybe pretty similar. Doesn't have the vision. He's sturdier, yeah. So I feel more comfortable having him touch the ball, you know, early on in the season, 25 times or 22 times, somewhere in that range. Where Aaron Jones, you get a close to 20 and you start worrying a little bit, you know, and I just don't know if, Aaron Jones is that guy that you can get the ball 25 times to, but Jacobs, I think you got to warm him up.
Yeah. I just, If you were playing one game, I would for sure rather have Aaron Jones. The more that I watched him, and then you watch Jacobs, who's a very good back, it's like, man, Aaron Jones was as good as almost anybody in the league. I mean, he was so dynamic, but the injury risk with him is so high, especially now that he's closing in on 30. I don't think he's going to make it through this season. I just don't.
No, I mean, last year, you got to have more than 9 games of production out of the guy.
Yeah. So I can see why they did that. They made that move, even though Jones is the scarier guy with the ball in his hands. I get it. I get what they were thinking there. So.
Yeah. He's one of those backs that make the offensive line look good, you know, and that's, you know, that might've been some of what happened last year too, is, you know, he has the vision and the ability to, he's so light on his feet that he's able to cut back and, plant that foot and just explode through a hole. Jacobs is close, but I thought sometimes early on, I thought he was kind of timid to the line, and some of that'll go away. But what you wanted to see out of him was, as the game progressed, did he continue? He got better through the hole, and you saw some burst. You really like him, but I think he, you know, Emmanuel Wilson, that's the reason why 28's on IR, not going to return this year. I thought he had showed a little wiggle and some explosion. And, I think you got to like what you got there as a 1-2 punch, you know, to get Jacobs off the field a little bit.
You know, it's funny. I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but I put a small mea culpa in our column where I think it was either after the first or second preseason game that we said, you know, If you were looking for Wilson to supplant Dylan as the number two, he really didn't look like he was any better with the ball in his hands than Dylan was. And then actually a week or two later, we said, well, you know, maybe he is pretty good. So in this one, I just said we were wrong when we first said that this guy showed some lateral ability to move. Dylan, man, if he had to stop moving forward, it was over.
No, the one he went around the corner, that would have never got done with Dylan,
yeah,
at all. I mean, Dylan's a straight line, eye back, get after it. That's it.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we've about run out of time here, Eric. Another podcast. Boy, that goes fast. I guess last thing, I do want to ask you, you know, we'll circle back to the Jordan Love stuff. What do you think the Packers can realistically hope to do with either Willis or let's say they get in, bring in Tannehill? What can they, you know, what kind of winning percentage do you think is realistic for them to get?
How many wins?
Yeah.
I got excited there for a second. I would say he's out for three games. If they get one, that would be good. You know, they got the Vikings coming up in week four, so that will be helpful. Anything beyond four, I think two would be successful. I mean, if they come out of this thing 1-3, I think you get to feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, that's basically what I, you know, I mean, there aren't even close to 32 good starters, you know, let alone backups who can win in this league. If you win one out of every three, you're doing pretty well. It does make you appreciate that they did pretty well with Matt Flynn. What was he? Wasn't he like, I think he was like 4-4 or 5-5 as a starter when he was their backup.
Yeah.
You know, that's not easy to find. So if I'm Brian Gutekunst, man, I'm drafting quarterbacks just like Ron Wolf drafting. Every 3 years, I'm getting two quarterbacks in that. And you got to kiss a lot of frogs to find Prince Charming, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, you go look back at those years. I mean, there were some pretty good quarterbacks that they ran out of here. Whether or not they're going to find lightning in the bottle again, that remains to be seen. But I think if he's out 4 weeks and they go 1-3, that's got to be a success. So you're 1-4. You just got to hope that when he comes back that it's you can make a heck of a run so the whole season isn't gone. But it's going to be a dog. Every game is going to be a dogfight because now there's going to be blood in the water and they're going to be sharks.
Yeah, well, one of Mike Sherman's years, I'm pretty sure when Favre was quarterback, they started pretty sure one of those years they started 1-4 and made the playoffs.
I don't think it's, you know, and then they'd be a pretty scary football team at that point. I mean, heck, the Chiefs lost week one last year against Detroit, you know, and everybody thought, oh my gosh, is the dynasty over? And, you know, they go out and win the Super Bowl. So, hey, you know, you lose one game, you lose your quarterback. Let's say it's 3 weeks, you only lose four games, you know, you're 0-4. Stranger things have happened.
All right. Well, with that, we'll call it quits here, Eric. Just want to thank everybody for downloading the podcast. Glad you think we're worth the time, and look forward to we'll be here again. We'll be back again next week. Packers host the Indianapolis Colts. This will be a Jordan Loveless game, so we're curious to see whether Malik Willis or Sean Clifford or maybe who knows Ryan Tannehill is the Packers quarterback. But there'll be a lot of news this week and lots to talk about. And we'll wrap up we'll do a film review next week and discuss it for a good half hour or so. I'm looking forward to that. But until then, just want to thank everybody for listening and wish you well. And this has been the After Further Review podcast for Eric.
Go out and buy your 44 jerseys.
I'm Pete. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.